Our next scripture reading is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. As Jesus starts to bring what we know as the Sermon on the Mount to a close, he starts to summarize things in verse 7, saying, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Let us pray. Our Father, you are not closed off to us. You are open outward toward us. You're the source of so many good gifts, including your word. As you open yourself to us through your word today, open us to receive it and to grow in loving you and loving others. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do unto others. Many of you could finish that verse. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We often call it the golden rule. Golden, I assume, because of its high ethical value, and rule because it's such a succinct statement of what it means to live righteously. The golden rule. Now, though we interpret the golden rule in the context of the Christian faith, the main theme of it isn't necessarily just unique to Christianity. It's important to note that other religious traditions have teachings that convey a similar message. In Hinduism, there's a text that says, "Men gifted with intelligence and purified souls should always treat others as they themselves wish to be treated." An important Buddhist text says, "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." Confucius was once asked to sum up the rules of life in a single word, and he answered, "Is not reciprocity such a word? What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others." In Islam, there's a teaching that says, "No one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself." So when we survey the landscape of other religious traditions, even, we see that doing for others is a recurring theme in other various faith traditions. And in today's text from Matthew, the golden rule, it appears as the climax and the conclusion of a long section of teaching, and where Jesus has been talking about what it means to live out the reality of the kingdom of God in the community of his disciples. He sums it all up. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Now that last phrase, the law and the prophets, is basically a way of referring to the whole of Jewish scripture. So when we listen to what Jesus is saying, we need to remember that he wasn't operating in a vacuum. He was part of ongoing discussions and debates in a particular religious and social setting about what teachings and traditions should be interpreted in what ways, but always with an eye toward how God's people should live righteously in light of God's righteousness. In fact, the golden rule wasn't original to Jesus himself. This basic teaching with slight variations is found in other Jewish sources. For instance, in one text, we have a similar teaching that says, "And what you hate, do not do to anyone. What you hate, do not do to anyone." There's another sort of parallel found in a story about two rabbis. There was a Gentile who came before Rabbi Shammai and said to him, "I'm glad to have you make me a proselyte, a convert. But I want you basically to do it by summarizing the whole Torah while I stand on one foot." So the Gentile left and went off to Rabbi Hillel. And Hillel said to him, "What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole Torah, while the rest is commentary thereon. Go and learn it." So we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus found himself in situations where he was being called upon to sort of take God's word, God's will, God's teaching for his people and summarize it, to take the life and faith of God's people Israel and boil it down to what mattered most. In other words, this is the core of the righteousness that God expects. This is what the word of God is in a nutshell. This is what it all comes down to. There's a person who tells about a conversation he heard between the head of the astronomy department at a university and the dean of the divinity school. And the professor from the astronomy department said to the other professor, "Well, now, let's face it, when it comes to religion, it all basically comes down to the golden rule, doesn't it? I mean, love your neighbor, the golden rule, right?" And the dean of the divinity school said, "Yeah, I suppose in one respect that's true. Just as in astronomy, it all comes down to one thing, twinkle, twinkle, little star." Now it's true that there's more to astronomy than just that. Just as there's more to Christian theology than just the golden rule. But across time, the church has viewed this as a reliable guide in many ways to discerning and doing the will of God in everyday life. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now it's one thing to summarize, to memorize the golden rule, to affirm that it's central to Christian faith and practice. But I think it's another thing to apply it, isn't it? Within the complexities and the challenges and the difficulties of ordinary daily life, both within the fellowship of disciples and beyond the fellowship of disciples. Notice that Jesus in this text isn't just talking about how we relate to others within the community of faith, the church. Do not, as he says here, do to others. Others doesn't refer just to fellow believers. He's talking about how you relate to others within the community of disciples, yes, but also beyond the community of disciples, how you relate to human beings in general. Both are covered here in what Jesus says. So according to Jesus, the golden rule isn't just an in-house guideline. It's designed to shape all of our human relationships, those within the church and those outside and beyond the church as well, which means that our daily lives are filled with all sorts of golden opportunities to implement the golden rule and to put it into practice. So wherever you're applying the golden rule, I think that it's designed basically to ground your actions, to ground your decisions in love for others. Keep in mind that Jesus says later in Matthew's gospel, when he's asked to give them the greatest commandment of all, What is the greatest commandment, Jesus? He replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, there is some difference between Jesus' summary there and what he summarized back in Matthew chapter 7 with the golden rule, but the differences really don't mean that what he's saying in either case is mistaken in any way. The two passages, when you listen to them, they actually shed light on each other, because in both cases, Jesus basically states that what it all comes down to is discerning and doing the loving thing for others. Discerning and doing the loving thing for others. Well, what does that require? That requires that you at least know the person to some degree, right? Knowing their needs, knowing their circumstances, knowing their perspective, knowing their story as much as this is possible. And how do you learn these kinds of things and know these kinds of things? You do this by the good hard work of faithful listening. Listening, asking good questions, staying open to the other person's life. And by doing these kinds of things, you're better able to imagine yourself into the other person's situation and perspective and circumstances. So you can ask, how do I desire that I would be treated if I were in that person's situation? How do I desire that I would be treated if I were in that person's circumstances or situation? And by taking this kind of approach to others, you're able to focus even more surely on what is good for them, not simply what you may get out of it, but more all, and most of all, what is good for them. There's a preacher named John Claypool, and he tells a story about a man who was on the verge of celebrating his 40th birthday. And his wife decided that she was going to plan a big surprise party for him, so she got a room at a motel and hired a jazz combo band, one of her favorite kinds of music, and managed to get in touch with 400 of his friends and keep it at all secret so they could be there at the party. She pulled the whole thing off successfully. The night of the party, he was genuinely surprised that she had been able to gather all these folks together without his knowing it. The music was great. The interaction, the socializing was great. The food was great. So she and he stayed till after midnight even, interacting with others. And when they finally got home, they kicked off their shoes and relaxed and started talking to one another about what a special night it had been. He let her know how much he appreciated all the effort she had put into it, the work that she had poured into doing that. He said, I'll always appreciate it. But then he said, I need to say one more thing to you. You're always the kind of person who's loved big parties. I'm the kind of person who's always enjoyed more small gatherings where you can exchange ideas with others. He said, I want you to know this party tonight really was wonderful, and I'm grateful for it. But it was more your kind of party than my kind of party. Claypool goes on to say, you see, she had lived out the golden rule perfectly. She had done for her husband exactly what she would have liked for him to do for her. But she had not listened to his heart. She had listened to her own life, but she hadn't listened to the enthusiasms and individualities of his heart. See how much this goes back again to trying to imagine yourself into the other person's situation and circumstances by good listening, by questions, by learning more about them and their story as much as possible in their circumstances. So Claypool uses this story really to illustrate a rule that he says goes beyond the golden rule. In fact, he says we could call this one the platinum rule. Do unto others as they would like to have done unto them. And that shifts our attention even more, I think, to the other person. I don't necessarily think that we need another rule beyond the golden rule. That captures a lot of it very well. But I think Claypool is saying that when you make decisions about how to treat another person in your life, you should think not only about what you would want if you were that person, but work even harder at getting to know that person so well that you have a deep sense of their circumstances, their needs, their perspective, and are able to discern and do what's loving and good for them. Not simply out of what you may get from it, but most of all for them. That kind of thing becomes critical in all sorts of circumstances that we face day to day, and relationships that we engage in from day to day, and circumstances where we find ourselves from day to day, where we're called upon to try to discern and do the will of God in this particular situation. What do I do? It becomes critical in all those kinds of situations, and I think it becomes even more critical in lots of our contemporary discussions, particularly political discussions, that can get so divisive. Sometimes because we're so quick to see someone or categorize them or label them without really trying to understand who they are or where they're coming from. A few years ago, there was an organization that drew up a statement of faith that they wanted to serve as a guide for how to interact with others in the arena of faith and politics. Now, you know how volatile that can be. But they tried to draw up this statement revolving around the golden rule that believers could sign on to, at least to help guide them in their interaction with others on these kinds of matters. For example, Christians who signed it pledged, "As I seek to apply the golden rule to political discussions, some of the things I will do are always show respect for the other person, acknowledge the limits of my own understanding, listen patiently, especially when there is disagreement. Use precise language that communicates my views without exaggeration. Try to understand the experience out of which the other person has arrived at his or her views. Look for areas of mutual agreement. Pray for the other person and our political leaders." That's just one example in contemporary life about how to try to take the golden rule and apply it, not only in one-on-one relationships, but on larger issues between groups as well as between individuals, how the golden rule can govern our thinking and our conversation about matters of public policy. That's one. Maybe another is trying to discern more about how we can apply the golden rule to our interactions with others online, too. What does "do unto others as you would have them do to you" mean when you're on social media? That's a good question to think about. How should the law and the prophets govern your behavior when you're on Instagram with others? Another good question. How can you love your neighbor when the two of you are logged in together? These kinds of questions. Maybe one good answer was captured by a particular church that put a message on its church sign that basically said, "Tweet others as you would have them tweet you." Tweet others as you would have them tweet you. Think about all these different parts of our lives and how the golden rule can come into play. It's no wonder that when we get to the summary here of the Sermon on the Mount and the beginning of Jesus' summary, all that, the last verse of today's text, how does it begin, this climactic verse? So in everything, Jesus says, in everything, everything from your conduct at church to your conduct at home, everything from your conversations at work to your conversations online, everything from how you cast your vote to how you act toward others in your own family, your friends, how you treat them. Everything from your perspective on immigration to your relationship with your spouse, all these kinds of things. Everything from your spending habits to your driving habits, and all these things. In everything, says Jesus, do to others what you would have them do to you. Not because the golden rule is a way that we can earn God's favor or merit his mercy. No, rather, just as Jesus says in the verse right before he captures it in the golden rule, he says that your Father in heaven is good and loving and caring and responsive, and people who are his children should reflect his character and practice his righteousness in all their dealings with others. Let's pray. Our Father, good and loving, faithful, righteous, caring, responsive. Thank you for all that you are to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for this familiar golden rule and for bringing it to life for us in fresh ways here today. We pray, Father, that you will guide and help us each day in all our relationships, circumstances, and interactions to know how to apply it. Help us to be faithful in listening and asking and knowing others better so that we can more faithfully do what is good and best for them. Thank you for your word to us, most of all through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll keep us attentive to you so that in our lives this day and each day, in everything, in all our relationships and dealings with others, that you'll help us discern and do what's loving toward them. We pray this in Jesus, your Son's name. Amen.